Amen. Are y'all glad to be here today?
Amen.
It was David who said a long time ago, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. We should be glad to be able to be in the house of God. Everyone do not have this privilege. And it was the Apostle Peter, after Jesus taking Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, according to Matthew chapter 17, and it was Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. So we ought to be glad that we are alive. We ought to be glad that we are in the house of God. And we ought to say it is good to be here. Because there are some who have died who would love to take your place today if you don't think that it's good to be here. I'm just elated to be here today. I'd like to thank your elders for the opportunity allowing me to be here, the leadership of the church. And I appreciate that so much. I have visited this church while I have relocated back here. I know this church has a lot of rich history. And I do remember when I was serving over there at Monroe Street Church of Christ, the Stony Island Church of Christ. And it's good to be able to see that you all are still up and running for the Lord. Amen. And I know how it is, you know, hearing a preacher for the first time, most likely, you wonder about who he is and can he preach. And sometimes, you know, the preacher also wonder about the members. Because I have received a warm welcome here, and I appreciate that. And those of you who I have not met yet, I'm looking forward to meet. And I just want to encourage you in the Lord to keep your faith in God, keep your trust in God, and God will see you through your trials and your tribulation. Just hold on to the Word of God, the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God will be with you. And again, I've been knowing Brother Jackson and his father for years. I remember when Brother Jackson's father used to preach on the south side, and he invited me out there several times to come to preach for him, and I appreciate his encouragements. And also, I know one of your elders, Brother Burnside, used to be my instructor. School used to be, I believe it's still downtown, but it's a different name. It was called, when I was attending, National College of Education. And I was majoring in computer science, and he was my computer instructor. I had to take COBOL language, programming language, and deep person, real deep, and I appreciate that. And I don't know if he was a member of church then or what, but, you know, it's good to know when I came here, I saw him. It's just a blessing to be able to see him in the Lord's church. Now, if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. And I would like to begin with verse number 7. That's the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and the verse is 7. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I would like to use for a subject today, I got the power. I got the power. Here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Apostle Paul encouraged his young son Timothy in the gospel. And Timothy was a faithful servant of the Lord. And Paul wrote this epistle to instruct those who were serving as leaders in the house of God. First and Second Timothy and Titus are books where it explains about the qualification of the elders and the evangelists and the deacons. And so here he instructed Timothy with these words. He said, "For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." You see, God wants courageous servants. God don't want us to be timid or to be afraid. You know, it was the children of Israel, because of their fear, many of them was not able to make it into the promised land because of their unbelief. And so God is letting us know that we have the Spirit in us to enable us to be the person that he designs us to be. But I want you to know, church, I got the power. And not only do I have the power, but if you are a child of God, you have the power too. You see, every child of God got the hookup. It is fully powered by God through his grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. There are different kinds of powers in our world. We have power plants, solar power, cable power, power adapters, power supply, power points, power tools, the power of knowledge, the power of love, the power of the tongue, the power of the internet. We have the power to succeed. We have cars, trucks, and SUVs that are fully powered with power windows, locks, and brakes. We have black power, white power, soul power, political power, social power, economic power, spiritual power, brain power, and then also nuclear power. Think of the variety of appliances you can buy today, like a refrigerator, washer and dryers, dishwashers, microwave ovens, food processors, electric toaster, lamps. We have bread machines, TVs, VCRs, DVDs players, PlayStations, help me young folks, Xboxes, and on and on and on. All of these appliances have different functions, yet they have one thing in common, a cord with a plug at the end. They are designed to utilize the same power. Do they use this power in the same way and to the same extent? No. Each appliance uses its own specific amount of power. Some have 20 watts. Some are 1,000 watts. Each appliance uses its own specific amount of power. Some use 110 volts. Others 220 volts. Some use alternating current. Some have transformers built into them, which convert house current to 12 volt direct current. The power uses of each appliance is usually stamped on the back or underside of the appliances. But I want you to know, as a child of God, we got power too, church. We have been plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know sometimes we act like we don't have the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. But the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, they who have not the Spirit of God is not none of His. So to identify us that we are sons and daughters of God, we must have the Spirit of God dwelling in each and every one of us. And we must have the fruit of the Spirit exemplifying our lives. Help me, church. So you see, we need to plug into the power of God today. And if you don't know how to plug into the power of God, I'm going to show you exactly how you can plug in to this power so you can leave this place today also having the power of God. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16 and 17. It was the apostle Paul who said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then he says in the next verse, he said, therein is the faith of God revealed. You see, God's righteousness is in the gospel. The power of God is in His word. And so he said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so I don't know about you, but I got the power. I don't know about you, but I want to hold on to this power, because this power will help us to succeed. This power will help us to prevail. This power will help us to overcome whatever obstacle that comes in our way. And I don't know about you, but you see, the devil is constantly knocking on our doors. And I'm sure he knocked this morning. He knocked yesterday. He's been knocking all week long. But we got the power to resist the devil. We got the power to flee from the devil. Help me, church, if you are with me. And then as we go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, listen, which are saved, it is the power of God." So you see, we preach about Christ and Him crucified. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul said to the church at Corinth also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse Number one, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain." So Paul preached the gospel unto them. He declared the gospel to them. He made known the gospel unto them. He proclaimed the gospel unto them. He said, "Wherein ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you." Church, it is important that we keep in our minds the gospel, the word of God. Some of us, we have forsaken the word of God. Some of us, we don't respect the word of God like we used to. Some of us, we don't study the word of God. But the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Not to study to show how smart you are, or how intelligent you are, or how much knowledge you got, but to show thyself approved unto God. And then he says, "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly," or "having the right, the word of truth." You see, we need more preachers who know how to preach the gospel. We need more preachers and leaders who know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. Because you see, your soul is at stake. So go the preacher, so go the church. Amen. And if you don't have a good, sound gospel preacher who knows the truth and know how to rightly divide the word of truth, then he can mislead you in the wrong direction. The same goes with anyone else in the church. Amen. And so Paul says, "Which I preach unto you." And then he went on and says that he made known unto them about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse number 2. He said, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Then verse 3 says, "For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Well, where did Paul receive it from? He received it from the Lord Jesus Christ, by revelation. And then he went on and says, "How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures." You see, the scripture shows us and tells us that Jesus died. It was even prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would die for the sins of the world. And so Paul is saying that this is according to the scriptures. And then he said, verse number 4, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture." So he is proving his point here that we have to stay according to the scripture. You see, I got the power because I'm plugged into the power of God. I got the power because I'm plugged into the power of prayer. Some of us, we have forgotten to pray. Some of you haven't even prayed until you got into the church building. Help me, Jesus. But you see, you ought to have been praying while you was on your way here, because anything can happen on the streets. You see? We need to engage in the power of prayer, because prayer changes things. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the power of prayer. Growing up on the west side of Chicago, and y'all know how Chicago is. All of the violence out on the streets, the gangbangers, the hoodlums. You see, God delivered us from all of those things. And it doesn't matter where you are from, there are still some areas where you was brought up. If not your particular town, it could be the next town over that was bad. You see what I'm saying? But it was God and the power of God and the power of prayer that helped us and guided us and direct us. And that's why we are here today. And that's why we ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Because He is good. He is the righteous one. He is the holy one. And I just want to show you how powerful prayer really is. Go with me to the book of Acts. The chapter is 12. Some of you know the story. You remember when Peter was put in prison. Here, Herod, who was the king, he had vexed certain in the church. And he had already had James killed the brother John with the sword. But the Bible says in verse number 5, according to Acts chapter 12, the Bible said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but what prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You see, it was prayer that delivered Peter. And it is prayer that delivered us. Amen. The Bible said they prayed without ceasing. That simply means they kept on praying. They constantly prayed. And then look at verse number 12. The Bible says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. You see, church, I don't know what your goals are. I don't know what your aspirations are. But you need to remember to pray. You need to ask God to bless this church, that this church will be where God wants it to be. You are in a great location. You have a beautiful edifice here. You can lead somebody to Christ. You can help grow and expand this church. All you need to do is just start working for the Lord. Jesus said, go in my vineyard and work. He said, whatsoever right I will pay you. Jesus has an award for us, but we must work. And if you don't work, you won't get paid. Amen. I preach a sermon up in Lansing and someone else, another place also, no work, no pay. You see, if you don't work on your job, you shouldn't expect to get paid. Am I right about it? That's just common sense. And some folks are just in the church without working. But you don't want to be caught like that. The Bible said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Henceforth, yea, say the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors and their works do follow them. You don't want to die without any labor and works in the name of the Lord. Because you would just be resting. But John said, blessed are them that die in the Lord. They shall rest from their labors. So we have to labor in the Lord. Amen. So the power of prayer. And then you look at Acts chapter 16 in verse number 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. James chapter 5 and verse number 16, the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Prayer is one of the greatest weapons a Christian has to combat evil. Yet, it is so greatly neglected. Prayer has turned the tide of battle, rolled the waters back, caused time to stand still, brought famine and brought rain, turned beggars into preachers, sinners into saints, lost into saved. Prayer has caused many who were sick to be healed. Prayer has locked the jaws of lions, brought fire from heaven to consume a sacrifice like in the days of Elijah. Yes, prayer has opened up barren wombs like Hannah to give birth to a child. Prayer has delivered many from devastating and bad situations. Prayer has opened many doors, brought comfort to many hearts, brought strength to the weak. This prayer which I speak is not a vain repetition of words composed or read by some careless individual, but the crying out to God of a humble heart, a soul searching, out seeking, asking, pleading for higher planes, for blessing for others or self. Prayer is a sincere desire from the heart to God the Father. A heaven moving prayer must burst from the soul, such as the prayer the blind man prayed in Mark 10 and verse number 47. Now, his prayer was short, but it brought a quick answer. Prayer is one of the easiest subjects to talk upon, but one of the hardest to practice. If only the church were to come to her knees today and really pray without what a difference it would make. Churches would feel, altars would feel, and praises would go up to God, because when praises go up, blessings come down. What a power we have if we would only use it. Prayer with obedience is power. Prayer without obedience is presumption. Powerful praying is not petty phases, but it is persistent prevailing. Prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to Satan. Prayer is pulling the switch that operates the powerhouse of heaven. Prayer is not a vehicle to enable a person to impress the listeners with his rich vocabulary, beautiful phrases, and pious sounding words. Many public prayers are directed to the audience rather than to God. Sincerity, hopelessness, and faith are what impress God. Prayer is the sweet incense running from a broken heart. Prayer is the expression of the human heart in conversation with God. Prayer is helplessness. Helplessness are incomparable. Your helplessness is your best prayer. It calls from your heart to the heart of God. Sometimes we think of prayer as a way to get my will done. No. Prayer is a means of getting His will done. And let me tell you something, church. Have you ever had a child who was sick and you didn't know what to do, but you cried out to the Lord? Am I right about it? You see, that's the kind of prayer that God wants us to have. He wants us to pour out ourselves unto Him. You see, there is power in prayer. And then there is power we need to plug into the power and the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. I just heard the song that we sang. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. It said, would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Power in the blood. Yes, church, there is power. And we have access to this power. And the only way, if you're not a child of God, the only way you can get access is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. And I want to show you something here, what the Apostle Paul at the church has said to the church at Ephesus. The Bible says in Ephesians, chapter 2, in verse number 12, he says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And then we drop down to verse number 16. The Bible said that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. You see, it is the Holy Spirit that strengthened us and enable us, help us to just keep on keeping on. You know, I'm sure all of us wanted to give up at one time or another. I'm sure all of us wanted to miss the assembly of God at one time or another. But the Bible said that we should not forsake the assembly, am I right about it, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Because you see, this is where you come to be edified. This is where you come to be built up. This is where you come to fellowship one another, and we should be encouraging each other when we come together on the Lord's Day or even Wednesday night Bible class, or if you have prayer section, we should be encouraging and building each other up. But the Bible says that even the Spirit of God strengthened the inner person. And I don't know about you, but my inner man needs to be strengthened every now and then. Amen. You know, with all of the stuff going on in our world and our society, it's enough to drive you crazy. But it's the Spirit that strengthens us and refresh us and renew us. And I thank God for that. And then he says in verse number 17, of Ephesians chapter, I said chapter 2, I'm sorry. I'm just looking at this. I'm in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I read verse number 12 and then verse number 16. And now in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17, the Bible said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And then, look at verse number 20. It said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in who? You see, we got power, church. We got power that works in us. And when you realize that you got power, you can overcome whatever comes your way. We got power in the Lord. So he said, according to the power that worketh in us. Paul didn't just say working in me only, but he was talking to the whole church. Amen. Now, I do want chapter 2. So we're going to go back to chapter 2. Now let's look at how we get this power. The Bible says in chapter 2 in verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. You see, it's the blood of Christ that draws us to Him, that draws us to God. And then the Bible says in verse number 14, "For He is our peace," that's Christ, "who had made both one," that is the Jews and the Gentiles, "and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself a twain, one new man, so making peace." And look at verse number 16. The Bible says in verse 16, "and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh." Verse 18, "for through Him," that is through Christ. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by Me." So He is the way to God. You can't just go straight to God. You must get to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so that's why the Bible said, verse 18, "for through Him," that is through Christ, "we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So you see, church, you got to come by the blood. And the way you contact the blood is through the water. You have to hear the Word of God. You must believe it with all of your heart. You must repent of your past sins. And then you must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And when you go down into the water, you don't see the blood, but the blood is there. Because God put the blood in the water. Isn't that right? And I want you to know that I'm glad that the blood is in the water. I'm glad that the blood is there because, you see, we have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, I don't know about you, but no weapon is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. That's what the Bible says. I'm glad the Bible said that the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. I'm glad that the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, "thou had no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way escape that ye may be able to bear it." I'm glad the Bible said, "well, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I'm glad the Bible says that, "for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So church, we need to keep on holding on to the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ, because there is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. There may be someone here today that needs to get into the blood. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And when you are baptized, the Lord will add you to the New Testament church, the church of Christ. The Bible says in Romans 16 and 16, "salute one another with the holy kiss." The churches of Christ salute you. If you're here today that need the Lord, if you're here today who is a child of God, but you have wandered off, you can come. You can come back The Lord is a righteous God. He will forgive you of your sins. If you are here today, you're not a child of God. You must come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You see, God will forgive you of your sins when you obey him through the watery grave of baptism. If you're here today that need to come, come right now, just now, as we together stand and we sing the salutation. Come to Jesus.